Does everybody that was here, have you been considering what I've said the last couple meetings about leprosy?
You must be kidding. No, I completely understood the mind.
I wasn't here, but I think that's a trick question.
If you break that chair, Tom, your ass is cracked.
I'm going to break the
chair. He's going to mow it.
What have you thought about with regard to? Give me some input.
I've still got a lot of confusion about four or five areas of the whole thing that I can't figure out on my own.
Like
so.
What?
Well, what I mentioned last week.
Oh, about New Testament stuff.
Well, on the, just where, when the cleansing ceremony took place, but that's not exactly clear at Leviticus to me. Maybe the Talmud talks about it.
Let's not worry about where the cleansing is until we come to a point of defining that you're ready to be cleansed.
Well, that's part of the problem from what I was looking at, because if it's talking about being totally leprous, whether or not there's even a ceremony there or not determines what exactly they're talking about. I'm totally
and completely up to the inspection of the priest.
It's kind of an academic concern, isn't it? What difference does that make to you when it took place and all that? Just because you need to have this knowledge.
Well, there's questions. I mean, the idea of, we talked about way back when we started doing this about the healing of leprosy, which we hadn't really touch back on that.
It isn't healed.
Well, that's what I don't see yet.
You think it's healed?
No, I don't know. I haven't been convinced one way or the other.
What difference does that make?
Well, I'm trying to, I want to believe this, and I'm real good at, at making things fit together of things that I want to believe, good or ill, but...
Well, no, wait a minute. What difference does it make to you whether or not the leper is healed or cleansed?
What difference? I don't know. It's just, I didn't understand when you were saying that there was no healing, because it looks like there's healing. And I understand that if I'm still thinking there's healing, then I can't buy into the idea of, being totally leprous, nobody's ever healed. It's all tied together. And so that's creating a confusion that I want to get out of, because I'm not seeing it with clarity.
Well, I know, but you make it sound like as though this is as Gary said, an academic exercise. And I think that its root cause is something that's far different than academia. And I think it's because it goes back to your basic persona.
Well, no, I see that. I see it happening, but I don't know what to do about it, other than say, here it is. I even see the fact that I can take these things, and make it all fit together, whether it's right or not. So it doesn't, whatever it is that I'm worried about is stupid, but it's still there, and and it comes up whenever we talk about it here, so I think, okay, totally leprous. Those are blockages. I've tried to see and, study it and look at it different ways.
My questions have to do with, we've ascertained that everybody in the whole world is leprous. Everybody in the whole world has leprosy. And that includes us. And so, consequently, we're not clean, and never have been.
except I see that if there's a cleansing with this body, you know, that is outside of time kind of stuff, you know. So, but we're in time right now, so we've not been clean. We haven't been Israel.
Well, remember,
up to this point,
remember, leprosy can only be seen from the period of the Jordan to Jerusalem. That's where we are. There's been leprosy all along, but it couldn't be seen until now. Now, the idea of leprosy strikes at the core of, there's a real reason why the concept of the waters is never studied in the church. You know, it says he came not only by blood, but by water also. The reason that there is a historical lacking in the understanding of the water and the waters of purification and the idea of cleanliness or uncleanliness strikes at the very core of the Antichrist. Because the essence of the Antichrist, essence, is that he is, it's possible for him to be independently right. The study of the water shows that not only can't he be independently right, he has no hope of being independently right. And so throughout history in the historical church, leprosy has been, so it would be finessed by the mind, by the Antichrist, leprosy has been equated with sin. That's a different thing. Rather than the need for that, the fact that you are in a condition of total leprosy, and that's the only way that you can be white for the harvest. And this will, and this is the great, leprosy is the great equalizer. It's the great equalizer of high place identities. It's the great equalizer of intellect or abilities. It's the great equalizer of all things that make you and I different. Because standing before the priest on the inspection of leprosy and the attendant ceremony that results in its, well, first of all, the recognition that it's from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and then the attendant ceremony for cleansing, just wipes out any differences in the body of Christ. And the reason is that there is no possibility at this horizon for you to be right. There is no possibility for you to be healed by more study, by understanding it better, by more prayer, by going to Bible study more, by anything in time and space. There is no possibility for self-cleansing. And that's why it is so incredibly difficult for you to see that you need cleansing. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I understand, I'm totally leprous. But when you begin to see the fruit worked out daily in your life, then there's no excuse for the quick raw flesh. The instant the quick raw flesh comes back, I mean, I'm sorry, John, but everything you have just said tonight defines the quick raw flesh being present.
I don't doubt that.
All of the sincere desires, even for the knowledge of God, define the quick raw flesh as being present. All the desires for anything other than the, you are at a point, a juncture, a horizon in which you must say with Paul, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And the fear of God will come upon you to reveal that those nice little engines that were driving you up to this point, I mean, you have to neglect them now. You can't feed them any more fuel. And there's no excuse for feeding them any more fuel. It's only at this last night in Bananas, I got blown away a little bit, because we studied what the greater works than these are. When Christ said, you know, talked about everything he did, and it says, greater works than these shall you do, if you believe on him. Well, you can't even enter into the lesser works. Well, that's not true. You can't enter into the greater work than these until you've reached this, until the waters of purification have covered you. Now,
I lost it on your analogy of the engine. Are those the desires?
They're leaven.
Okay, they're leaven. Are they also desires?
Yeah. They're just the quick raw flesh appearing.
So any desire, doesn't matter what it is.
The flesh is trying to suppress down the spirit. The spirit is trying to suppress down the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
It seems like there's several different responses to the leprosy from what you talk about. It's like when you see it, you either try to hide it, or you try to cut it off, or... You know, I can't remember some of the others.
Well, but the thing that you try to do is you try to convince yourself that this isn't leprosy. This isn't quick raw flesh. I mean, there's not one of you that have been here as long as you have that could not know in the spirit and not know in your head that you're totally leprous. That's the condition of your being. But there is every one of you that doesn't know and that has not yet been able to discern when the quick raw flesh is appearing that puts you outside the camp. You'll always excuse it and blame it on someone else or some other phenomena, or that's just me, or that's just the way I am, or that was my parents' fault, or that's the way, you know, 1,000,000,000,000,000 excuses to excuse. I'm not, forget the leprosy. I'm talking now about the quick raw flesh that appears in that white field that is preventing us from going, because if there is one leper that isn't placed outside the camp, all of Israel is leprous.
And it's any time your eyes are turned on yourself, that's the quick raw flesh.
Yeah, but that's too much of a cliche. It has to be, that's why I talked about what I did Tuesday night. Either desire or judgment reveals raw flesh. To desire to be different than you are, or that your condition is different than you are, or the judging of someone else reveals the quick raw flesh. And if it's the size of a half of a lentil, you're outside the camp. Now, I get the feeling I'm talking to... You know, this is the reason. This is where you live, and your minds are shutting down. You're just going into your being is going into neutral, so you'll avoid the confrontation. I mean, it's like I can sense it. It's just like you went, whoop. You know, You can use every religious cliche in the universe, but you can't get in the temple.
Something like that happens when there's desire or judgment, it happens, then the transaction takes place within you. Either you see it and respond in repentance, or you make one of these other decisions. Oh, that's just the way I am, that's what I do. That's if I try and stop and be different now, then I'm thwarting God's plan. Like, but then are you inside the camp? In which condition are you out of the camp? In which condition are you in the camp? I just kind of got
pigeonholed there. Well, listen, all of you understand everything I've said with perfect clarity. There's no one that didn't understand Tuesday night. Now you're mine. This being, this thing, this evil one, is pulling every trick in the book, every subtlety in the universe, to try to avoid the inevitable confrontation. And you'll excuse it by confusion, you'll excuse it by fear, you'll excuse it by doubt, you'll excuse it by everything in the universe. This is trench warfare. And I don't think any of you realize.
What is the inevitable confrontation?
Well, in the natural, it's confronting me. Because I have the role of the priest.
I mean, I want to get it out. I don't know what's to be done. I mean, there's...
You can't get it out until you confront it, yourself.
Yeah.
You understand? I can't bear this burden for you. Yeah. I can't force you into it. The evil one is too crafty.
Can we help one another? Is there exhortations or something at this point? I just saw some things with John earlier that were riding on me about, it's like you're living in some kind of fear, and so you've made it academic, and it keeps you separate, this stuff separate from you. Part of the fear I see in you is you don't want to confront me. You don't want to say that bullshit.
Well, what's happened is that I brought this up before, and I understood, I think rightly, that if I don't see it, like you're saying tonight, if I don't see it, you know, and you know, whatever demand of God that it be revealed or something, I mean, that's where the meat is. And I went out thinking, okay, great, you know, I'll do that. And I, you know, I haven't done it. I haven't been able to, or I haven't, you know, in rebellion, I haven't gone far enough. And as we're talking about this, I can't just sit here with that in me. I have to say that, you know, it's raw flesh, it's total leprosy, whatever we're talking about, you know, that's it. But I don't want to try and make it some kind of excuse. I mean, I know it's, and you're right, it doesn't interfere with me agreeing with you about everything you say. You know, it's not like I don't understand that I'm totally leprous.
Yeah,
that's not the issue.
Total leprosy is child's play. It's the appearance of quick raw flesh.
The cleansing happens now. We're coming to you with saying, hey, here's the quick raw flesh, or I strongly suspect there's something going on here at my elbow or something, and then you make a ruling.
Right.
And say, yeah, you're right.
But
that seems like that could happen 5,000 times.
Oh, it'll happen more than that. But you have to understand. I mean, I pray that some of you have done what I asked, and that you've reread the New Testament. And every time the word flesh or carnality was used, to see that it's talking about this condition of raw flesh appearing on that one that was leprous and declared leprous. You have already been declared leprous by, not by me, but by our high priest forever.
That's beginning to see what's been part of what's been confusing me is that an outbreak of raw leprosy, is that somehow different than being totally leprous in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't understood this. I wasn't here when this was said.
In the, I thought there was a one-time cleansing that we were heading for, and it doesn't sound like that we're now, but it seems like we're
sense.
Heading for being.
Remember what I told you about 30 months ago? I told you from now on there would be no hesitation about having you go outside. Mm-hmm. This is why.
It feels like that thing, get in, get out, nobody gets hurt. Very, very simple for what's the difference between being totally leprous and having an outbreak?
Well, when you're totally leprous, the priest has declared you, just as Jesus said, now you are clean by the washing of water. I mean, now you're clean by the word I have spoken, which is symbolic of the washing and the whole ceremony. Now, that person being clean, then the moment a raw flesh appeared in his being, the size of a half of a lintel, then he's automatically outside the camp.
So it's like it starts over again. It's like,
and he has to be, he stays outside the camp until he's back in the condition where he sees himself totally leprous. But he has to see that he has to be able to discern for himself. I mean, that's why, do you understand in the spirit, that's why you wear clothes, and the human race wears clothes only for one condition, one reason. You wear clothes so that you will hide the spots and you'll hide the spots and the blemishes on your flesh. You understand that? I mean, I talked about that many years ago. That's the only reason you wear clothes. Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed because they were without spot. You, and the reason for fashion industry, the reason for the clothing industry, the reason for everything, is that you would have a vehicle of hiding your leprosy, the raw flesh that appears. You understand that? It has nothing to do with modesty and all this other Babylonian bullshit.
You're saying it's a symbol of that, right? You're
what?
Wearing clothes is a symbol of what we
it's
do.
It's an expression of it.
Okay.
Now,
because when the fall happened, they were leprous, and it expressed itself outwardly by covering up with leaves and skins.
Right, the lusts of the
God covering up with skins because they needed
the blood, the pride of life. What are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? All of those are the conditions of the quick raw flesh. Understand? Now, do you also understand that this strikes at the core of your being? That you thought you were without excuse before. You're going to be so far without excuse from now on when you finally see what I'm talking about. I still don't think you see. But I don't know what else no, that's not wrong. I know you see, but every device that you can pull up from your vast storehouses of memory and protection are being employed. what, for most of you, that means you just shut down. That's what you do when you're confronted with something. You just shut down. You know, we used to call it the state of immobilization. Well, that's what this body is experiencing right now in my spirit, is you're shutting down so that you won't have to confront this.
Well, I know that myself, I mean, I can see what you said, because I've been so overwhelmed by leprosy all of a sudden, you know, popping up all over. It's not that it was any different, it's just that now...
Now you can see it.
Yeah, that I have been in confusion, because I didn't know quite, you know, I didn't know... It seemed like there was no end. I mean, there was no place, there was no way off, there was no way... The exit was always an entrance to the next room with more of it.
So what needs to happen is an outpouring of confession and see it as a sweet thing and a liberating thing because it's a cleansing. And anything that's not confessed is this festering raw flesh that's hiding under whatever it is that...
It's being spotted by...
So we take up most of our time confessing from now on every day. And that's the freedom for others, right? That's how the cleansing takes place.
These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own desires, their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration, because in order to gain advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly desires. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. No. I mean, we see... When we hear these words like garment spotted by the flesh, or spot or wrinkle, or spot or blemish, or we take those words into our understanding, and we are in mass confusion about it. To those that know the law, when those words were used, they knew exactly what was being talked about. They were talking about the condition of leprosy, or the garment, the righteous garment of the righteousness of God is our only identity, is spotted by your flesh, manifested in your desires, in your ignorance, in your purposed ignorance. Yeah. In your sloth, in anything to avoid this inevitable confrontation. I mean, do you understand? I'm not asking you to change. I'm asking you to express what you are. But express what you are in the fear of God, not express what you are in the state of justification. The only time this cleansing ceremony took place was when the leper was totally leprous, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now, the confusion that's herein is that you're still trying. You wouldn't have been in here for these many years, unless there was a condition of total leprosy. What I'm concerned with now is the spots on the garment.
Yeah.
And that's, those spots are the spots that are manifested in your sincere desires.
And this desire thing is, you know, I have a lot of desires today. I want to go out of town, go camping, this, that, and the other. And I, when I was writing these Psalms of Ascent, all the Psalms of Ascent are always talking about being content, you know, being at rest. You know, in the last one, they're rejoicing because they're in the sanctuary and they're there. And any kind of desire takes you back outside trying to get someplace again instead of being there in the inner sanctum where everything is.
Something that I think was said at the wedding about the righteousness of God and the saints, or something like that. Someone said, and I'm just seeing that we are the garment, we are the righteousness, and it's these things that we continually withhold and are, like for me, afraid to say in this place, in this body, in front of these people. It's like I'm the spot on the garment, and because of the spot, God hates even the garment. Spotted by the flesh. And it's like one spot on the flesh, and God hates the whole mess. So, we're one people, one body. Without this.
From the standpoint of our minds, we would have been better off had we never studied leprosy. From the standpoint of our minds, everything from now on will be 10,000 times as difficult as it has been to date. Gate is becoming much narrower. The hill is, you know, as you approach Jerusalem.
Surrounded by the mountains. You figure
that. And so the idea of the things that are sin. Or not sin, or are changing. Not changing in terms of their eternal condition, but changing in terms of our perceptions.
Yeah. Well, once you see something, I mean, you can't, from then on, you can't do that anymore without, you can't just slip it off, you know, without seeing it again. You know, that's. Especially once it's spoken, not just seen, once it's spoken, and you know, then it's like everybody's a witness to this personal little thing that only happens in your own mind way off someplace else. And so when it comes up again, it's like everybody's there witnessing a cloud of witnesses or something. And that's the overpowering thing that enables you to, you know, to be cleansed, to get it out, confess.
And it's the overpowering thing which enables you to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. But it's the leper, it's the raw flesh, which causes you to make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desires thereof. It causes you to be still walking in the garden, consuming the tree of knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, rather than eating the tree of life.
Mm-hmm. The house stuff has been a provision for me, because it's like
just keeping it like if I ignore it, it'll go away kind of deal, but allowing myself a place to figure out how to protect myself there, or how to do it right, you know, as far as, you know, Trinity being there and what's fair and what's, you know, equitable about all that, and how to, you know, not get taken or not, you know, or come out the best, or, you know, some, the place, rather than just saying, you know, the place that I've allowed myself to think about that. And today I was thinking, it's such a stupid little thing. But, it was, went and bought some material today to make something. And I felt like I had gone over.
You had gone over the?
Over the line. I had spent too much money. I had bought too many things for myself. I had, you know, somehow today that was going over the line somehow, and that I should have bought it for someone else, whatever, you know, and just feeling dirty about that, you know, and not really wanting to even talk about it, you know, it's just such a stupid thing.
Wow.
I wanted to talk and hear about it.
Yeah.
So every time that happens, and all the years pass, this little raw flesh places, they just hang around.
Yes.
So it's like we've all turned almost all back to raw flesh because they've just been hanging around the things that we didn't feel, you know, was anything much to talk about or, you know, just. Yeah.
I know this is hard to conceive of, but the idea of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. And the word provision means the advanced planning. Make no provision to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, this has to be seen you have to be able to see that there is no desire that your mind can conceive of that isn't the desire of the flesh. You understand that? There's no such thing as a righteous desire. It's not your children or your wives or families, or that's why Christ said it. This is the juncture where the idea of hating your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, you and your own lives also is manifest. It's the idea that God not he's not you, I mean, forget your desires. God, I mean, you're not going to change your desires. You're still going to, you know, You're going to like chocolate ice cream. You're going to like strawberry ice cream. And you're not going to change your desires. But what changes, what's manifested, is that you make no provision, positive or negative. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he shall bring, he shall give you the desires of your heart. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Well, there's only one way. You delight yourself in the Lord in a place. The only place you can delight yourself in the Lord is in the place where the Lord is, in Jerusalem, on the mercy seat. Now, I know this, I don't want to make this sound religious. This has to hit you at your core being. I don't want to, I mean, this is 10,000 things in your life daily. Be careful for nothing. The Lord is at hand. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the garment, the righteousness. Now, that's why there's these varying degrees of, I mean, for some, the quick raw flesh, the kinds of the things that that Gary mentioned, those are the big spots. But they don't spot any less than the little spots. I mean,
or anymore.
My spots are all still connected with the same old thing. I don't think I could be true to one woman. So that's the whole deal with regard to, you know, that's why I don't think I could be true to Tyra. I thought I, you know, I hustled myself into believing I was true, but I, you know, in my mind I wasn't true. Mm-hmm. Now, so what do I do? What do I do about Tyra? I don't know. Pray that she's strong enough to minister to me. That's what I pray. But I can't ask her to marry me in that condition.
What's the scripture where it talks about the, being carnally minded, spiritually minded? It's like the guy with these raw flesh things is to be spiritually minded is to have your mind fixed on the priest, who holds the key, you know, to your situation, which is determining, you know, what it is that's going on with your body. Because until he makes the determination one way or the other, that's the only place that in future you have any future. And because, you know, he could rule that this is not quick raw flesh, you know, whatever. But to be carnally minded is to be pushed where the quick raw flesh pushes you by law, which is outside, you know, in the opposite direction. And I feel the more I see of these spots that we're talking about, you know, it's like the pull is in one way to leave, because it's so, you know, it's like I'm yucking up the whole room or something. And then, but the only hope is the forgiveness, the cleansing that's only in Christ Himself. I mean, that's the spiritually minded thing.
Amen.
And that's the struggle.
But it's not.
Close it off and leave.
Yeah, but it makes it like. It makes it manifested so that it can't be. I mean, these are all the reasons, I don't have to tell you, but these are all the reasons with regard to the size of a body. That you can't finesse these things. I don't want to leave you in this arena with a feeling of hopelessness. You know, it's not hopeless, it's joy. But all you have to do is to give up the arena where you're seeking to save your life. I mean, you know, all of the things about, you know, I for some reason, her deal about her weight, no matter what and how we rationalize it, it's still to save your life. And it's not working. I mean, okay, well, no, I lost 8 pounds. Or no, I lost 60. It's not working. What do you think Paul meant when he said, I have learned to be content? In whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. That's, Paul didn't have any other. I mean, he wasn't, his flesh wasn't any different than yours. The same desires and wants that you do.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't sound like you're saying be content in leprosy.
No, I am saying be content in leprosy. I'm just saying don't be content in the state of the quick raw flesh appearing. You misunderstood exactly what I was saying. Don't be content. I mean, the only way to say it is what Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision to fulfill the flesh. How do you do that? Well, it comes against everything that we have ever learned.
You know, you know, we talked about usury, about borrowing stuff from the future. It's almost like confession of these desires. It's like that you get the interest of, you know, it's like the cleansing equals the contentment that comes as if you had gotten the desires. And so you're working off of this interest that you're talking about, which is the grace that allows you to be content by confession. It's like the same thing where you think it in your mind and you're borrowing stuff and you confess it, then you get paid.
Yeah, you get the interest and the pain.
And you're able to exist in that moment.
Good.
So then I get to be cleansed now?
The trick is only can I get cleansed now.
That's a computer.
When others who are stupid. And I thought about this all day. The quick raw flesh, for me, most of the time is justification of one form or another. It's either judgment, gossip, comparison, throwing out something that sounds like it might be acceptable. I mean, it's just
throwing out stuff.
That's what I do all day at work. When I'm required to interact.
Is this filling up the afflictions?
There's nothing.
Is that what this is? Part of it?
Well, it's the Word becoming flesh. This is the language of God, the Word.
Like I had measles because, you know, I've always heard about the lifetime goals and all this kind of stuff. And, that to me was never, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's not an issue. But always on the back burner are a million little things that
short term,
you know, going to get mini blinds for downstairs. I'm going to teach the big kids next year. I'm going to wash the car and wax it. These, you know, little desires that, you know, I see as total sin, total.
Well, it's the total opposite of redeeming the time.
Things you'd never think about if you were in the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
Waxing the car.
Yeah, you don't know that. I mean, I don't know. You might just wax the car.
Well, I see any desire that's...
Instead of doing what you're doing, whatever you're doing.
Yeah. It's those desires that are replacing the desire that you are.
Now, what you said, John, is exactly what bothers me, is that, you know, is that if this is something we wouldn't be doing, holy holies, then what the hell am I busy doing it? Why don't I go sit on top of a mountain or something? You know? I mean, that's what's confused this whole time.
No.
You know, that there's not a damn thing to do.
Listen.
No, it's a desire that you're not even doing.
Yeah.
These are desires that are occupying space in your brain that could be filled, you know, by your consciousness of, you know, God or something.
Oh, shit, I didn't get this. If I'm actually, you know, washing the car and waxing it, I'm perfectly fine. That's no big deal. You know, I cook every day, I clean every day, but but it's the giving breath to it. And
it worked. This, you know, I was thinking about all these things, Patty and Power on my mind. There was other things were going on, like four or five different little deals, and it was like all of a sudden I realized all I had to do was just, you know, let each one of them go. And there was something about even naming the things and letting them go, you know, to God, and then it was gone. But I wonder, you know, because they go on so often, you know, there's always three or four things churning, you know, juggling while you're doing something else, with your feet or something.
Oh yeah, and what you said the other
day. But you're not conscious of it until, you know, it gets so much that all of a sudden you're ground down to a halt with whatever it is you're actually trying to do.
The idea of being examined for leprosy in positions of work.
Yeah.
You know, that's what really hit me, because that's where it all hits you all day long, is in your sewing.
Why does it say confess fault one to another so that you may be healed? Is that so that the flesh may be
healed? The word heal, let's get this straight.
Oh.
That word healed is eon nami, or approximately thereof. But it means complete, total, lacking absolutely nothing.
And it could mean just being
totally
it, becoming one with Israel again after you're outside the... Well, I understand it perfectly now.
We haven't studied that yet, John.
You need to strain a few more days.
So in the places in the New Testament where it says healed?
One place.
It only says healed?
One time, and Jesus never called him healed. The guy called himself healed.
Hmm.
Other times he said cleansed.
He only said healed once?
No.
He didn't say
healed. Jesus never said.
Well, Jesus never said
that lepers were healed. He always said they were cleansed. The only time the word healing in the New Testament is used with regard to lepers is when a man called himself healed. And when Jesus recounted Naaman's healing in the spirit, I mean, Jesus said he wasn't healed, he was cleansed. Naaman said he was healed. I mean, the Old Testament said he was healed and his flesh was made like baby's flesh. Well, that's our child. That's what happens to us when we see this newness. Our flesh, we become as that small child.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's other things. We'll go into all that. But the confession of faults one to another that we might be healed is endemic to leprosy. Now, that's why it's so difficult for, and you will find it more so when you, the more you teach, the bigger the groups get, because you will always have this thing in your mind that, I mean, you don't really care about saying, you know, your own stuff, but you think that if you say your own stuff, it'll cause somebody else to stumble. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Really, it's the opposite.
And it's the opposite. But that's my constant battle. Mm-hmm. I don't care about, you know, about me or anything about me, but the constant battle within me is, well, if I say this, it'll cause one of you to stumble. So the, it's still bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Or to think of me less in a less way.
Yeah, yeah.
That they wouldn't esteem me.
Well, I got over that one, but I mean, our circumstances got me over that one with you guys, but it's still, the other half of the coin is still there. But all these things are what we are now addressing, that we would confess fault one to another. Now, fault, the word there is like, it means almost anything. I mean, it's like, it means probably any spot or wrinkle. And so it needs to be we need to see that there is an abundance of confession and forgiveness. I mean, it's just like it's the natural order of things. I mean, we know each other well. And there's nothing you're going to give. There's nothing that any of you could say that would surprise me. There's nothing that I could say to you that would surprise you. We all know the futility of trying to be perfected after the flesh. We all know, and for the most part, the big spots are gone. You know, because from what the spiritual meaning of it is. But now we're addressing these spots the size of a lentil. The ones that manifest themselves in the desire. You know, I want to do, you know, it's not that. For the desire isn't wrong. The desire, whatever I see, whatsoever I see the Father doing, that is what I do. I mean, that's what Jesus is talking about. It was he didn't question whether or not something that he just knew he didn't have to make the provisions to fulfill it. Do you understand? It doesn't matter. You've been bought with a price. There's nothing about you that's your own any longer. That means you don't have to make provisions to accomplish anything.
You're on the right arm.
Yeah, it'd be like, okay, right arm. I mean, you can't be separate from the Father. That's what, I mean, you know, I understand. You know, this is probably hitting harder than any of us, because has had the most difficulty up to this point in understanding what justifying yourself is. Because it's like, you know, if you've been, you know, like I say so often, if you're, it's hard for a fish to describe the ocean, because but that's happened in you so that you can help other people. And so our response to it is, should we have to help you pull it out and to speak to it when we see and sense you justifying, and not but do it in love, but lest we stumble. I mean, and so it's not a matter of judgment or trying to prove something.
It's like it's all I've ever done is make provision for the flesh, because I've tried to save myself. Yeah. And, you know, try to save myself religiously, you know. And,
well, all of it, all saving you for yourself is Babylon. Egypt doesn't care about self. Egypt always existed for. Now that's a new story. God, let me just say two words about it, but the way in which all this stuff will come to a head in your minds is when you see really what I talked about last night. That you were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. And that meant that everything that happened to the whole human race happened to get you here. Not just to your genetic family, to the wars that took place in their family. I mean, everything is to get you to this pyramid point. And you're here now to accomplish something. What you're here to accomplish is the greater work. Greater works than these shall you do. And the greater work that you're here to accomplish, because we're back still at mystery, greater works than these shall you do. The only thing you have to do is to see. And when you see, you will speak it. And you will become the language of God to accomplish the greater work than that which is even done by Jesus Christ. And that greater work will be to call into being the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no sorrow, there are no tears, there is no need for the sun or the moon, for the light of God, the light of the Lamb shall fill the temple, where there is no more tree of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. There's only the tree of life with 12 manner of fruit to feed. That's our mission, is to call forth the greater work, to speak it, to be the language of God, to speak that world into existence. Now, I know that blows, I mean, that's too big. Well, no, it's not. That's what you're here for. That's what we are here for. And that needs to be spoken with the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. In perfect... That's why we're here. That's the only reason for being here. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. Can you get a hold of a little bit of that?
I'm getting blown away because I'm sitting here realizing justification is the not acceptance of grace. Yeah. It's like it's so much grace I can't hardly handle it.
You've all been bought with a price. And you've been bought for a purpose. When that purpose and you become one, then you are the language of God. Then you are the Word made flesh. You understand? And you become, and you are, rather than anything. I mean, it's just... You are the will of God. You don't have to worry about it. You are it.
Popeye song, I am what I am.
Popeye was a cartoon.
Actually, it's from the movie Popeye.
He was a sailor man.
He had big forearms.
You're getting a little bit of better understanding why you don't want any open flesh? It's not because God's trying to make you feel bad. It's because He's got a job that we can't do until we see.
Well, if confession is the evidence that we're forgiven, is confession the evidence that we've been cleansed at that point?
Quit worrying about being cleansed.
Not till the high priest says so.
Well, I'm sure the leprous person was vitally interested.
The one that was outside the camp. Wondering if they were ever going to get to enter the temple again.
It was a lovely temple.
Pistings are mistakes and Fridays. Especially when Pentecost is coming up. They're supposed to be a permanent thing.
I have a very large, sneaking suspicion that cleansing has to do with grace.
Anybody have anything else?
Keep thinking about this other justification, and I constantly go through, and it's either pride or fear of doing the right thing or the wrong thing with our food. And like it's just a constant pride. Oh boy, we did it right. Or, oh shit, we fucked up.
See, that's my job.
No, it's my job to, for now, to kick your ass.
We don't worry about that kind of stuff in our group.
Take a big guy.